This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Back live from the Kirkwood Studios, Martin Kilcoyne, Frank on assignment. He's actually at Enterprise Center. They got a big announcement followed by a Blues skate. And we're talking hockey now with the president of hockey operations with the St. Louis Blues, Doug Armstrong. Army, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you today?
Life is good, and now you know who you're facing. I would think that gives you guys a little more focus, a little more certainty on what's next. Kind of fun for a day or two not to think about it, but let's start with that, the matchup with the Stars, a division team that I'm sure you guys know well. What's your take on the matchup?
Well, watching their team play this series and last night especially, their top players are playing very good. Jamie Benn was the best player on the ice last night, and Ben Bishop played strong. I thought, obviously, not allowing a power play goal in the entire series shows that their special teams are in good order. So it's going to be a good test for us, but we're excited to have that on the horizon.
Yeah, it's amazing when you finish off a series and you get a few days off. It's great because there's rest. That everybody says, oh, no, it's too much time off. Now, Columbus and the Islanders, they're sitting around for like a week. What's your take on that in terms of downtime? Is it a good thing?
Well, it beats having the whole summer off.
Right.
So
this is true.
So yeah,
there will be more hockey. We just got to wait. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the four days that we're going to have are going to be very good. 4 or 5. It you can get a little stale if you have a week off, but also it allows your injuries to heal and to focus in. But as I said, you can control the games you play. You want to win series as quick as possible. I don't think you're ever hoping for a series to get extended so you don't have too much time off.
You've been doing this a long time. Take me back to Game 5 in Winnipeg. You're sitting there. It's 2-0. It's their building. They're going nuts. It's loud. And then those three goals happen in the third period, including the 15 seconds left. Schwartz scores. How about for you, in terms of games you've been a part of, that you've been in the building, where does that one rank?
Well, it was certainly an exciting third period. I thought, quite honestly, our first period of that game was our best period to date in the series, and we were down 2-0. I thought we came out with a real good purpose. They scored quickly, but I thought we dominated the play. So we felt good about our game. Some games you're down 2-0, and you know you're lucky to be only down 2-0. Probably Winnipeg felt that after the second period of game 6, we had played very well. And then all of a sudden you're only up by a couple of goals and it's a dangerous lead. But I felt good going into that. I thought that power play, obviously, goal by O'Reilly was great to get it going. And I thought we were going to push and this team has been so resilient on the road. If you look back to, I think starting, January 14th, we were basically on a 70-day road trip, we had 6 home games and all single games. So our team was comfortable playing on the road, and certainly we created adversity that we had to play through, and they showed their colors there. So it was fun. It was, certainly was thinking overtime was on the horizon, and then a great play, a great forecheck by Steen. Bozak with a good play and Schwartzy with those soft hands. All of a sudden, we steal that game and give ourselves a real good feeling coming into 6.
And Jane Schwartz, a guy, he's been around a lot. It's crazy. He's only 26, but he's been with the team since 2012. And throughout his career, I mean, he's been snake bit, whether it's injuries, he'll have these long droughts with goal scoring. Did you see anything in his game, maybe even early in that series of the Jets, did you see it coming? Did you think, boy, he's close, it's going to happen?
Well, yeah, he and I actually, I would have conversations during the year. He's always close, and that's the positive thing. And a credit to Schwartzy that he doesn't let, when the puck's not going in, affect the rest of his game. His teammates will be the first to say that whether if he's scoring or not scoring, he's still an effective player in so many other areas. So it's more not seeing it coming. You're really happy for someone that puts that much consistent effort into to finally get the rewards that he so deserves. And it couldn't have come at a better time for the team and also for him. And hopefully that propels him into feeling really good and having that hot stick as we enter the second round.
Doug Armstrong, the Blues president, with us here on 590 The Fan. With Jordan Binnington, give me an idea for you when you said, all right, this is who he is. It's not just sort of a flash in the pan. Hey, it's a nice story for a week or two. Was there a moment when you said, boy, this kid really is legit?
I would say on that those road trips that we had going after the All-Star, into the All-Star game and coming out when we were in that 10-game winning streak or 11-game winning streak. He had some huge games for us in there. And, you know, it just felt some goaltenders you see are getting the success, but they, you know, they don't look overly confident in the net. They're having fortunate breaks. He just looks like a goalie. He's on top of his crease. He doesn't have to make every save, meaning he's positionally strong. He gets hit by pucks. And then he can make the miraculous save like he did in game one on Scheifele at the end of the game. So he's looked like a real goalie for you know, certainly over the last 7 or 8 weeks. And this, you know, for the organization, and for we hope this is a sign of things to come for many years. He's still at a great age to put together a hell of a career.
Yeah, when we talk to him, he has this confidence. He's almost got a wry sense of humor, but the great line where he said, "Do I look nervous?" I think he said it to Panger and others. How much of his game do you think is his mental stability? I mean, he just seems to have this, a guy like he's a young guy still in terms of games played in the league, but he seems to have this confidence of somebody who's been around a long time.
Well, you go back to his junior career. I think he was the Canadian Hockey League goalie of the year. He was a third round pick, which is relatively high for a goaltender. So he had the pedigree, and you know, he's been through the school of hard knocks. There's no question that there's been roadblocks that we put in front of him, you know, with a Husso coming in or an Allen or different guys, and he's had to battle through it. And this year he got that opportunity, and he's making the most of it. And he looks like, as I said, it looks like the real deal to me.
And give us an idea, Craig Berube. I know you know him well, but what you thought he could do as your head coach? Give me an idea. Back then, going months back, what you thought would happen and what you've observed. Have you learned anything? Surprised? Is he surprised you in any way?
I'm not sure surprised. I think what he has been able to do was simplify hockey to really what it is. I think we've all, I'll speak for myself, you get caught up in talking about Gen Z and Gen X and millennials and all that. At the end of the day, you're just hockey players. They want firm direction. They want to be told what to do, and they want to be held accountable to get it done. And I think but we all start to try and, you know, read too much and become average psychologists, where Craig is just a hockey coach. He puts in a game plan. He holds players accountable. He treats them like men, and I think it's been refreshing. And just that old-school approach, I think, has been very good for our group.
Yeah, it's interesting because some players, and we know especially maybe more the modern players, they don't like it if a coach is too tough. He seems to have this ability where he can be firm, he can make decisions and basically say it's my way or the highway, yet it works. Like he can be tough, but it doesn't piss him off, which is sort of a tough balance for coaches these days.
Yeah, I think it comes from honesty. Whether it's tough love, it's honest communication. He's not a yeller or a screamer. He's just very honest, and he doesn't when you ask him the time he gives it to you, he doesn't build you a watch, you know. So this is what I want done. This is how I want you to do it. I'm going to hold you accountable to that. And then he moves on. There's not a lot of debate going back and forth. It's not like he's closed-minded, but he's just a strong personality that I think the players respect.
I'm sure you're not aware, Doug, but Vegas now lists the Blues as the favorites to win. I'm sure some of that has to do with teams that have been knocked out. A lot of good teams are already out of the tournament at this point. How do you set that? Not that you're worried about the Vegas odds, but the chance. I mean, this team has a chance to make a deep run, but you still got a round two. You got to worry about it. It literally is a game at a time. How do you kind of keep the bigger dream out of your head this time of year? I mean, your players should be dreaming big, but you can't get caught up in that. I mean, I think people are really excited about this team, but you still got work to do.
Yeah, I would say after I talked to the players, they brought it up, I'd say, well, if you go back 2 weeks ago, where did Vegas have Tampa? And how did that turn out? So, I mean, you got to play the games. It's great when you're getting accolades from outside, but at the end of the day, you have to play the games. And we just have to get ready for game one and do our best there. But it's great when other people think you can get the job done. But we've been here over the last 6 or 7 years where we've had expectations to walk through series and it hasn't worked out. So I don't get too caught up in what other people think. I know that if the guys prepare like they have been and compete like they are, good things will happen.
And this is the team you put together last summer. And, you know, once the O'Reilly deal went down, I think there was a lot of enthusiasm and accolades. And it wasn't working for a couple of months. Was there ever any time where Doug Armstrong said, boy, I think this team will be better. I thought this was the right group. Did you ever have any doubts during the season?
Yeah, I would say, you know, you. I think Bill Parcells said it best, you are what you are. And our record in the first part of January was a few games under 500, and we had played a lot of home games. So the future didn't look bright with the number of road games we had coming up. But there was a belief that if this team could turn it around and find it, they could get on a roll. I didn't know if we would. I thought, quite honestly, you know, we were thinking 90 to 91 points to get you in the playoffs. That was a realistic goal. That would have had us playing 12 or 13 games over 500, which is a lot. You know, and then they just got on this positive roll. But there was a belief in that group, but also there has to become a reality of the job has to get done. And I keep going back to that pre-Christmas trip when we went out to Western Canada. I thought we played great. We got two out of those three games, and we came back home and we lost to, I think, the Islanders and the Rangers. But we played so well that there was a positive sign that our game was turning around. Now, do we have enough runway to land the plane? That was the question. And the guys answered that by just going on a tremendous run and getting us into the playoffs.
Hey, Doug, I know you're friendly with John Mozeliak. You get yourself to some Cardinal games. How much do your players enjoy seeing a Molina and a Wainwright, and they're grabbing the mic during the game? And I think there were seven Cardinal players at that game on Saturday night. How much fun is that for your guys?
Well, I think it's great. I went to... I went to a Cardinals game last year, and I had Mike Caruso got me great seats. So I was in the green seats, and Tarasenko and his family were in front of me, and Yachty goes by and gives him a wink. And it's really cool that our players and their players know each other, and they respect each other and cheer for each other. And when those guys, we understand it is a baseball town, and when those guys we'll put the effort in to come to a game and not only put the effort to come to a game, but allow us to use them to rev up our crowd. It's great. I know I get goosebumps when they do it. And it's a baseball town, and we're all baseball fans and huge Cardinal fans. And when they do that, it means a lot to us.
Well, I got to tell you, it's a baseball town that right now is all about the hockey. My mom was at her Easter vigil Saturday night, and I'm at the game. She says, make sure you text me. I said, Mom, you're going to be at church. She said, I don't care. I need to know the score. So the tide is turning this time of year. Everyone's on board. Army, thanks for hopping on, and we'll talk to you soon at the rink.
Well, I always appreciate coming on, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Doug Armstrong with us, the Blues president of hockey operations. And I was trying to keep track because there's always some Doug-isms there.
A couple of idioms in there, right?
Yeah. What do we have? Right. And I've heard it before. I've never heard it attached to Berube.
If you ask him what time it is, he won't build you a watch.
He's going to get right to the point.
Yes. And then there was another one late about if we had enough runway to land the plane.
I think what he was saying was, we can get on a roll here, but we dug such a big hole.
Too little, too late.
Yeah, like, right. can we still make the playoffs at this point because we're playing better? And he actually pointed to December, which is before they bottomed out, which would have been the January 2nd, the famous date where they had the lowest point total in the league. And so the runway point is valid. Do we have enough time? Well, then you win 11 in a row. All of a sudden, now you're back in the... Remember we would do the playoff percentages?
Yes, and for a long... And we did it almost like jokingly 20%. At times because it was in the teens. And it was, wow, they still say they think they have a 19, 20% chance. What do you guys think? And then pretty early on in that 11-game winning streak, it shot up over 50, and it was very high after that.
And then down the stretch, they won 8 of their last 10, so probably like the week or two out, they were at 90 all of a sudden.
I think we stopped after that winning streak, because I think at that point they were
I'm glad we burned all the tapes, too, where we had them like at 2%.
Yeah.
Hey, Frank, what's your personal – ooh, Marty, I'm optimistic. I got them at 10%.
Let's also burn all the tapes where kind of early on, when it was clear they were probably going to make it, we were saying – hey, best case, maybe play a good first round. Get a good 6-7-game series against the Jets or the Predators, and we'll be happy. Let's burn those tapes down.
Now, we did get called out. You and I got called wet blankets the other night. I believe I predicted a loss in Game 5.
So did I.
But then when they won Saturday, somebody said, hey, you and Hoff, the wet blankets, you said we're going to lose. To be fair, Frank and I both, sounding like homers, said Blues in 6 for the first round series. I got a little nervous when they lost both home games, but the original pick was Blues in 6.
I thought they were going to lose Game 5, 2-1, or you know, Binnington would play great, but two goals would sneak in. I said on Friday, I thought the Blues would blow them out, and that they'd score early, and they'd run them out of the building, and I was almost right. They were up 3-0 through into the third period, and then Winnipeg kind of came back a little bit.
And so now you have a series, Stars and Blues. Again, we don't know the start dates. Could be Friday, Sunday. Could be Thursday, Saturday. Games 1 and 2 at Enterprise Center. Ben Bishop, who the Blues moved on from, and Jordan Binnington, who has talked about it, and I think Strick even early on said to us, this guy's got a chip on his shoulder because he was being passed up. And you heard Army even say it. We had Ville Husso. We had already committed to Jake Allen. You had guys. So you have two guys who are kind of bitter that they didn't get a chance to be the Blues goalie.
They're going, playing to prove Doug Armstrong wrong, each of them.
The Army Cup.
Yes.
And it was Binnington who led the league in goals against. And I think Bishop was right on his heels, but then Bishop led in save percentage.
Yes.
And Binnington was top five or so
fourth. He was fourth, and they were 1 and 2 in goals against Binnington, then Bishop.
So you're supposed to always expect the opposite. So the Blues are going to be winning like 5-4.
6-5 games whole way through. Let's do it.
I have a feeling this is one where form will hold, where the opposite is not going to. There's always one game probably in the series where it gets out of hand. For example, Bennington's numbers in that first series, you can't take away, sorry, Coach Spags, you can't take away the 6-goal game.
If you take away,
but I believe Bennington gave up 16 goals in the 6 games. If you take away the 6-goal game, it's basically 2 a game.
Bishop gave up 12 in the 6-game series against Nashville,
which is 2 a game.
Pretty good.
Quick CBC math. Yeah. So every game will be 2-2, and it'll be played until triple overtime.
It did remind me, though, if we're on the topic of idioms, he did drop a couple at the end of the days as well during it.
Did he?
It did. Yeah, he dropped 2 or 3 of those.
Can we add Doug to the end of the day?
We might have to. It did remind me of our Vince Coleman interview.
Vince Coleman with us.
He always told me that, you know, there's no shortcut to success. And, you know, those who come early and stay late, you didn't have any sandbags hanging over your head. Don't worry about any cybermetric numbers. Don't worry about no statistics. You know, it's not guaranteed. And you don't want to put yourself in that position of guessing or hoping. You don't want to be Bob Hope's cousin. It's a different formality of thinking. But, you know, we put our nose to the grinding board. We prepared every day for a ball game. I couldn't see the forest for the trees at that time, you know. I mean, but if you tell me that I could cut off my left arm and have to throw it my right, if I could cut off my left arm today, I would cut it off and put on a Cardinal uniform right now. That's how the biggest mistake that I made of leaving the Cardinals.
I like how he was willing to cut off his left arm, but then he pointed out, I'll throw with my right. It's like I could still play.
What are you going
to
hit with?
But he put his nose. His nose was on the grindstone.
There were a couple of malapropisms in there.
It made it even better.
It did. We were counting on
Army, real quick, you don't want to be Bob Hope's cousin, do you?
Army, would Brett Hall cut off one of his arms to put on the sweater this series?
That is classic. Vince Coleman, who, by the way, I was scribbling names when Frank was talking earlier. He was mentioning Dave Winfield being drafted in 4 different leagues, who would have been great multi-sport athletes. I was thinking just in St. Louis professional sports history, who could you picture? I was thinking, well, Marsha Faulk was really into baseball. I don't know how good he was at baseball. I could see him playing point guard. Jim Edmonds in high school, I believe, was the quarterback. It's amazing how many professional athletes, when you go back, oh, yeah, I was the star quarterback too. But wait a minute, you're a hockey player. Wait a minute, you're basketball. I would think multi-sport. Edmonds would be on my list. Marshall Faulk would be on my list. And I thought Vince Coleman, I could just see him.
Being kind of a fast running
back.
Like
a running back, and then possibly being my point guard, shooting guard, playing some great defense, getting up and down the floor.
One obvious one that Frank and I missed, and Plazzi as well, was Bob Gibson. We got a phone call about that.
Played for the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yes. You could probably see him being a good football player, too.
See, you kids today. Jen, what did he say? Army X and Z's and Y. You kids don't remember.
He's usually in a good mood.
Army?
Yeah.
With the isms. By the way, I texted him and said, calling, and then I type so, S-O-O-O, calling, so, like, pick up.
Hurry up.
And I realized I didn't hit N for soon. I was trying to tell him, calling soon.
Oh, you're being passive and a jerk.
Calling, so, Yeah, we're going to need you to pick up that phone because we're calling, so you might want to
answer on the first call. You're a jerk now. You're calling
I
Danny Mac.
I updated it. I did
calling Danny Mac at 4 in the morning. You're being catty in text to the Blues GM.
I'm calling soon is what was indicated. How about a little business, Hoff, before we take a break here? Dr. Rick, by the way, is coming up at 11:30.
I got to text you his topics for this week.
If you have questions for Dr. Rick, you can get involved at 855-282-8255 and put out your candidates, the great, and not necessarily that they did it like Bob Gibson did, but who you could picture being a great multi-sport athlete. Now, Tony Twist, I could probably put in the boxing ring.
I think we're aiming for three sports.
Yeah. Okay.
What's
so
the goal?
All right. So Twister, I'm going to get him in the boxing ring. So I'm at two.
Two.
Could I sell you on him being a great blocking tight end, maybe?
Maybe a hard-hitting safety?
Yeah, I don't know about his wheels, but anyway, you get the idea. Text in 855-282-8255.
Well, Martin, if one of your goals for the year 2019 is to buy a home, make that dream a reality by going to thehomeloanexpert.com and getting pre-approved today. If you thought the competition was tough last year, it's only tougher this year. You never know what perfect house is going to hit the market and when, so make sure you're pre-approved and be pre-approved by a strong mortgage lender like thehomeloanexpert.com. Same-day pre-approvals, 14 days to close your loan, lower mortgage rates, customer service, and no one can match. Thehomeloanexpert.com is the place to go for the five-minute loan approval. It's only available, again, at thehomeloanexpert.com. And the St. Louis Cardinals, playing the Brewers, they won last night. They shut out Christian Yelich. And also from May 10th through the 12th, the Cardinals will be hosting the team they are tied for first place with, the Pittsburgh Pirates. And there are great giveaways all series long, including a Molina Clemente double bobblehead, a mystery performance t-shirt, and a Cardinals crossbody bag. Get your tickets today at cardinals.com/promotions. When you hear body bag, that sounds bad. What's a crossbody bag?
I think it's the kind you strap over your neck, but okay, you can see it kind of going across your waist.
Because usually when you hear body bag, it sounds
body bag sounds bad.
Yeah, body bags are
that
bad.
Could be like an army-ism, like, well, we just need to pile up the body bags and get this town a cup.
Well, one time, I know we joke about his press conference where the audio disappeared, and he said that you got to stab the people in the eye and kill them and puncture their brain, and got kind of violent. We asked when Yo was the coach. I think Frank or you asked a question about, you know, second go around as a head coach, do you learn anything? And Army said, yeah, you know where the bodies are buried. And we're like,
that's right.
What?
The bodies are buried.
The bodies are buried.
We always said that cryptically he was giving us clues to something that rather dark that had taken place. All right, welcome back. Dr. Rick is on deck. A little later we'll check in with Frank. He's at Enterprise Center. I'm checking to see what the announcement there
something
was.
Something about gymnastics next summer.
Okay.
Frank's going to be thrilled.
It's an Olympic, probably
he
an Olympic
trial.
He loves
when he has to do Olympic stuff because they're the property of NBC. Loves it.
Does he? We'll talk to Frank a little bit later. We'll do Five for Frank. Then the noon hour, it's Tuesdays with Kenny, all coming up here on 590 The Fan.